Pickaxe.
If you like to eat stress-free and healthy, like me, you can do it this spring with Factor. They have delicious, ready-to-eat meals, everyone is fresh, never frozen, and chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 different options, including popular ones such as Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or like me, vegan and veggie. There are more than 60 add-ons you can discover every week, such as breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks and beverages to help you stay fueled and feeling good all day long. So what are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. If you're looking for gourmet options, there are meals that have premium ingredients, such as filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini and asparagus. And they are no fuss, no mess. Factor eliminates the hassle of prepping, cooking and cleaning up. Simply heat and enjoy the good stuff. You can customize your weekly meals with flexibility to get as much or as little as you need, and you can pause or reschedule deliveries at any time. Factor is your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking. This month, we're celebrating Earth Day. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. So head on over to factormeals.com/pickaxe50 and you can use code PICKAXE50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your second box. That's PICKAXE50 at factormeals.com/PICKAXE50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is going. Check it out.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
This is Pitch Please, the show where people who play games pitch ideas to people who make them. This week...
See, what you're basically pitching now is like a game based on the end of Indiana Jones The Last Crusade, where you play as Sean Connery bleeding out, shouting instructions.
Welcome back to Pitch Please. My name's Alex, and I'm joined by developer Chris from Foggy Box.
Hello.
Developer James from Catastrophic Overload.
Hello.
Tom, the idea engine. Tom, the tank engine? Tank engine?
Yeah, I'll take it. Yeah, that'll do.
and Matthew, our in-house regular, what are you, like a wandering podcast
nomad.
Games critic. Extraordinaire.
King of the Castleverse.
Why do I not have... Why does Matt have his Castleverse and all these games I've pitched isn't part of like the Hazelopolis or something?
You've never linked them.
So disparate ideas.
Every single game, just like the end of a Marvel film, has a character that comes in that's like, we need you to join S.H.I.E.L.D.
Nick Fury comes in, says, giant talking crystal, we need you. He's like, oh, hang on. Looks at his clipboard and goes, no, we don't. You're a terrible idea.
Oh, my God.
Dungeon Daddy.
Don't worry, because...
You got a new one, Tom.
I got a new one, and I opened up my Pitch Please notepad document that I have on my desktop, because I'm so efficient, about 5 minutes before we started recording, because I forgot we were recording this today. And I read this, and I don't remember writing it. I don't know if this is like a fever dream, or maybe like a post-vaccine shot sort of like... I don't know. Maybe this comes straight from the vaccine juices. So it might not be my fault. Are you ready for me to read this for, I think, the second time in my life? Maybe.
I'm very ready.
So it says here, watch fire, the opposite of Firewatch, in which you manage the stats and signals of an explorer delving into an unknown land. You see their position, health, oxygen, while following survival guides and information from previous explorers, apparently, to inform your decisions and lead your kooky explorer friend to the treasure/knowledge inside. There's a little bit more, but what do you think of that so far?
Oh my God, so there have been loads of them. So you just keep recruiting people to do this, like, test or whatever, and then what, leading them off a cliff?
Maybe?
That's just
I don't know. I think I was just imagining, like, the in Firewatch, you're constantly in contact with this person, right?
Mm.
And they're so fun and so well written. Haha, what a great time. What if you're that person? Is I think what was going through my head at the time.
Yeah.
Maybe. But yeah, you are basically the other side of Firewatch, which is why this is called Watchfire, obviously.
So you're like, if it was Firewatch in reverse, you would be the one up in the tower. You wouldn't be seeing the action. You would just be hearing it reported back to you about what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you would have like a bunch of stuff, I guess, meters and readings and cameras or something.
You could have binoculars and maybe in-world events happen and you see, like, I don't know, an explosion or something. You go, oh, they've reached the...
An explosion? Okay.
Yeah. They could be like, uh-oh, you'll hear an explosion, then you'll get a call like 2 seconds later. It's like, I just found something. the trees are on fire. What do I do?
Maybe you see something in the distance and you're like, you need to figure out what quadrant of this zone it's in or something like that. So you have to direct them to that area. Maybe got some like spotty GPS tracking on this person. So you can kind of see the direction he's going. Maybe he's at some point, because it does say here, kooky explorer friend. Maybe he speaks to you on the walkie-talkie and it's like, hey, waka waka, found some blueberries.
That's a catchphrase.
And mushrooms, can I eat them? Hey, zibba zibba doo. And you're like, you open up your survival guide and you're like, don't eat those. You'll die. You will die. You're dead.
Waka waka.
So is this a little bit keep talking and nobody explodes, but as an explorer with like maybe there's some hieroglyphs and you're like, oh, okay, that means this. And there's a fork in the road. What way do I go? So you have to get the map out and be like, okay, if you're in quadrant D6, you need to do a left here. Otherwise you end up at the doom tunnel and you don't want to go there.
You don't want to go to the doom. You never want to go to the doom tunnel.
No.
Maybe
is it kind of like that, but with an AI?
With an AI, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it's kind of like Pitch Please. Not Pitch, but that's the name of this podcast. Like Papers, Please. He says like, this sign says it will go straight to Doom Canyon. Do I want to go to Doom Canyon? You're like, hang on, let me just check the logs from other people who have gone down this way. And it says, yep, no, everyone that goes to Doom Canyon dies. So don't go to Doom Canyon, go the other way instead. That'll save you.
So the thing that it made me think of initially was, and we've talked about this a couple of times on the podcast. In fact, the very first episode where we came up with, what was the God game?
I can't remember what it's called.
Hashtag blessed, of course. So Lifeline, where that was a mobile adventure, right? Where a guy would text you and be, is he like an astronaut or something? Or he's an explorer, basically. And he's saying like, oh, I'm here. Do I go left or right? And then you tell him and then he'll report back to you through text messages.
Yeah,
effectively
kind
through messages.
But I think I was imagining this as a more narrative thing where...
Yeah, well, this is
I
love the idea of that, but like expanded into an actual game, like a first-person Firewatch style story where it's not a passive thing. You're not just sitting around waiting for stuff to happen. In between the events of this character getting back to you, you're in your little base of operations doing other things, trying to solve this mystery.
I really like the idea that we can give this character like a horrible personality. They're like super impatient.
No, it says kooky.
They're super impatient then. And they're just like, I need an answer to this right now. And you're like, oh my God, okay, I better find it quick. Or they'll just make a decision.
They'll go on their own.
And they're like, oh, I've eaten the berries. I'm sure they're fine. And you're like, oh no, don't eat the berries. Oh. So you could have a timed element to it, but maybe that's a bit too stressful. You could, you know, because Firewatch was kind of like, very chill,
maybe
very
after
nice.
Maybe after eating the berries, you then get another walkie-talkie message from your kooky old friend. He's like, hey, zigga zigga zoo, I'm shitting blood now. What does that mean? Check your survival guide.
If you've got time for zany catchphrases, you're fine health-wise, I think.
Yeah. He's extremely kooky, endlessly kooky.
He can't help it. It might be it's like some kind of tick. It's an anxiety tick. He just says
he has a problem.
Now,
I've left my wife to come here. she's deteriorating mentally and I couldn't deal with it.
Jesus.
That's the Firewatch. That's the setup of Firewatch.
I'm not just Zimzamzabaloo.
What was I going to say? Is there just one character or do you have the potential for lots of characters? So if one dies, you get a demerit in your report.
So this is a roguelike.
Maybe you've got a shed loads of characters that come through. Maybe they're tourists and you're like in this like safari park or whatever park this would be, mountain park, and you're in the middle and you're like, right, okay, the next group of tourists is coming through. I've got to help them navigate through. And then, yeah.
From afar,
yeah. You've got too many groups. There's too many groups going around. There's like three or four groups at once.
He's got a megaphone.
Yeah, exactly.
So in my head, this was more of like Indiana Jones kind of, but you don't
Indiana
play
Indiana Jones.
Indiana. You don't play Indiana Jones. So that was my Essex coming through, just sort of mashing words together. You don't play as Indiana Jones. You play as his mate Jeff or something, who's in the back, who's got all the spreadsheets. And he goes into a ruin and you're like, okay, what do you see? And you have to figure out, you know, what civilization it was, because it might be Mayan, it might be this. And you're like, okay, so these symbols line up with this. But, you know, when you get to, that means you're in this ruin. So you're in this quadrant now, we need to go left. Okay, and you've gone left. And now there is a puzzle. And you're like, oh, whatever it is, Jehovah spelt with an I. And you're like, okay, you need to, you know, say that. And then, you know, that's that kind of thing, right?
See, what you're basically pitching now is like a game based on the end of Indiana Jones' Last Crusade, where you play as Sean Connery bleeding out, shouting instructions
with his catchphrases.
Blah, 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 I'm bleeding.
Will you have those catchphrases, Mr. Sean Connery? Oh,
sorry, yeah, because he is dead.
And Indiana Jones doesn't say whacka whacka, I don't think.
I said don't go between them, whacka whacka.
You could add a bit more of a challenge to the idea of, like, if you did have multiple parties and there's, you're having to keep track of the information you've given them or what they've done to kind of keep on top of it. So, like, you know, oh, I know that one of this party ate this particular berry early on, and that's fine as long as they don't eat this other berry further on. But I need to remember who I've told what so that they don't kind of, you know, you're trying to kind of keep all that information juggling. Because I think if it's just a game about like telling one bloke what to do, it might be, it's like playing sort of Uncharted, but just from like the most boring seat in the house.
Well, you're Sully.
I mean, I can see it being fun, but maybe that's just the end of the podcast, because it's like, yeah, that's a great game. Cool. Let's just make that job done.
The interesting part comes from what you do in between that, like when you've said, okay, go left, and then he'll be like, okay, I'll report back to you or something. Like, what happens in those moments between? Like, what are you trying to figure out? Like, if there's some kind of larger mystery.
I think Matt's right in that there has to be some management to it, and maybe it's just the fact that we don't serve you everything in UI. You've got a big map, but you've got to plot the journey yourself. Maybe you've got to write down, oh, they ate the berry here, mark it on the map, and you go, oh no, that's, they weren't there, I've made a mistake, they're actually all the way over here. So there'll be lots of context clues to be like, I think they're here, they're fine, or they're about to fall down a cliff.
Yeah, maybe there is no GPS. Maybe you just have a paper map in front of you, and every now and then he comes back, he's like, zam, zam, zabaloo, there's a split tree here, hit by lightning, just as an FYI, and you have to look for that on the map and figure out where he is.
They're just lost. Now. Is that just it? The setup is, this person has a satellite phone and they're lost in this massive wilderness, and you're like, okay, well, let's try and figure out where you are, and then you've got to try and navigate them back to where you are without them dying.
Bottom of the mystery, whatever the mystery is.
There definitely needs to be obstacles where if you give them the wrong information, it's like game over for them. So like they're walking along and there's a big snake in the path, but you know that there's like somewhere in the area, there's the famous kissing snake that you're meant to kiss to stop it from biting people. And you're like, is this the kissing snake? Is it not the kissing snake?
Maybe make out with a cobra. Why? just do
you,
it, all right?
You could do a lot with randomization as well. You could just be randomly generated a map each time you play. So it'd be like, okay, who am I saving this time? Different map, different set of obstacles, and keep it fresh. Otherwise, it's just like, okay, the person died. Well, then I can just carry on trying again, I guess.
So, that's where there has to be an overarching like goal, right? Some, like Tom's saying, some kind of mystery to solve. And even if you are using these people like just disposables,
then it's
for a greater goal without sounding too.
I feel like there just need to be some things to solve along the way. Otherwise, it's literally just like, if you're just getting someone out, it's just like having Bear Grylls on the phone, right? And you're just like, oh, and there's a purple bush, berry bush. And my dad is, no, you'll shit yourself and you'll have to drink turtle blood.
So what if you're kind of like the, if you are in some kind of watchtower, or you are just like the Overwatch, and maybe it's a national park or maybe it's somewhere else, but there is some kind of greater mystery about this area. Something's happened. You work for SCP or something, and there's a bunch of squads that are sent out into this area, and you're the Overwatch, and you're like, okay, somewhere within this forest, there's a creature that we have to capture, or there's a portal
kissing
going
snake.
Somewhere. There's a kissing
you
snake.
You have to get the kissing snake.
You have to find the kissing snake. Or there are multiple weird mysteries that inhabit this forest, and you have to figure out what links them together, what the greater mystery is, by managing these different teams that are walking around the forest trying to investigate it.
I love that idea, but I want them to be amateurs. I want them to not be survivalists or like army people. Maybe they are just like a bunch of paranormal investigators that are just, oh, we know there's something like in this. Yeah. And you've been employed because they keep turning up and people keep going missing or something. You're like, right, we need someone here to like look after these people that keep turning up and eating the wrong berry or something. You know, I kind of like that setup.
I think going back to Tom's Papers, Please sort of reference to that in terms of, I think you should be able to get like stuff sent to your phone. Like they take a picture and you get it. And then you have to find a reference to something in that picture in a big sort of encyclopedia of mythology or whatever, or for that area. And you're like, okay, I can see that symbol. That's like the rock, the big rock that's shaped like a snake's head, the kissing snake's lair. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So if you're there, you need to go like left of the big oak that, you know, is to the left of it. But you can see that in the picture, but you only know that from matching it up to a reference in the book. Mm. So it's about sort of
finding
information.
I like the idea
information.
Of there being like a bookshelf next to you, and it's filled with all this literature in the game that you can flick through, and maybe there's some content in there. Yeah. 5% of it is actually useful though, and you place bookmarks and check marks in all of these books, and eventually you just have these stack of books next to you on this desk of stuff that's actually useful among all of the crap that isn't. So when he sends a picture of this hieroglyphic symbol, you're looking for that book in the bookcase and then flicking through every page to try and find it, and then when you finally land on it, it's like, great, cool, amazing. However, by that point, he's already left, or is like, he's taken the left path, and you read the hieroglyphic later on. It's like, oh fuck. Oh no. You weren't meant to go that way.
The book upside down.
I really like that idea, because you could, I like that we're leaning in more into the narrative side of it, and you could just have within the columns of the books, like other annotations from other people that have worked your job. So they'll be like, oh, this person ate this berry, and then you might see a annotation from the previous occupant going, oh yeah, don't listen to them when they say it's this, it's actually this.
I mean, yeah. That works great for like the tutorial segment, right, where that's as far as the previous explorers got, and they're like, okay, we'll handhold you through this bit because we've got the annotations that is literally saying go left here and all of that stuff. And then eventually the annotations stop because you've progressed further than the previous explorers ever have. And also it's a cool like story moment when I don't know, there's like an ink splash and the line drags all the way off the book because that's when that person died.
And you can get a black light and you can see a hidden number on it, and you're like, oh, that leads to a page, and then it tells you it's on a map of the back of the Declaration of Independence. And it was National Treasure, the game, all along.
Just staring at lemons the whole game. Like, Nick Cage. Why is there this bowl of lemons in here? What's that?
Okay, well, I think we enjoy the idea at this point, so I'm going to continue with my pitch. Twist.
Oh,
I have a twist.
Tom.
So we can scrap this entirely because, again, I don't remember when I wrote this. Twist. at some point, the entity inside contacts you and gives you more information, right?
You're hallucinating.
you cannot tell your explorer friend about it, as the radio gets garbled when you even think about telling them. For example, and I don't know what this is an example to, because this just seems to happen out of nowhere. Example, must have high heart rate to enter a particular area, must be dangerously low on oxygen, etc. And that's where my writing ends.
Because that's where you died.
Now, I thought it would be a good idea to try and decipher what I've done here.
Okay.
So there's an entity that contacts you, and I guess is the spirit of the cave, the kissing snake itself. Contacts it you.
Stop.
And it's just hissing and smooching.
It sounds like you're trying to engineer certain things, but you can't tell them directly. So it becomes about using communication in a subtle, like that thing about the heart rate. You can't say, oh, to get through this door, your heart rate needs to be higher because the entity's told me. So you just have to do stuff that's going to get his heart rate higher so he can go through. So you're almost trying to trick them in the information you're giving them to get to, you know, what you actually want.
That's interesting.
I think that's kind of what I was thinking, where it says must be dangerously low on oxygen. For some reason, maybe like the guy is like, hey, zigga 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 zigga, I am running out of oxygen. When should I refill? And you're like, no, not yet.
I think what Matt's trying to say is that it's a different kind of puzzle then. So you could have choices. And it's like, okay, I know that he has to have a high heart rate to go through it. I'll make him run through here. Or, okay, he needs to go through here, but he needs to have low oxygen. How do you get low on oxygen? What if I make him swim? Like, that's a way of making that a puzzle where you have to think about how situations cause these things.
I feel like every individual room then becomes almost like a point and click adventure. Use adventurer on lake. And suddenly like, oh, low on oxygen now. Use exhausted adventurer on door. And now it works for some reason.
Right.
Or like trying to put them in particular situations that gets them in the correct physical state, I suppose, to proceed.
Bleeding.
Based on what the entity is communicating to you.
So the entity, is this a Dead by Daylight thing? Is that where that came from?
I don't know.
It's Nicolas Cage.
I feel like it's like a haunted relic inside the dungeon that you're trying to recover, and it's communicating with you. Maybe before it's a crystal skull and it's actually an alien.
Well, but before you brought this up initially, I was thinking it was starting to lean slightly towards the like the kind of Cthulhu-y style thing, perhaps, or at least the occult. Like, I really like the idea of it being paranormal or occult, like something kind of weird going on there. But the entity kind of works. It's the same kind of deal. Like, but I love the idea.
Has contacted you, and it wants your boy to have a higher heart rate to get into the next room.
Is it like a management adventure game? Like, are you with deception? You're deceiving the people that you're managing because that's the only way to get to complete the puzzles.
I don't think you're necessarily deceiving them. You're just trying to do what the entity says, I guess. But you can't tell the adventurer that's in the trial or whatever that you have extra information. Let's go with no twist. Let's go back, shall we? Because I think that's just confused
as much as
I confused me. Maybe this was an amazing idea, but I just simply can't communicate.
I don't know. I'm trying to think
because an entity is telling me the information.
Like, if we forget the like story element of like why that exists, I feel like there's a nice mechanic there of like, okay, let's take in the heart rate one. I need you to go from point A to point B with a high heart rate, without communicating that to this NPC. Can it be more like story-based? So it would be like, you've got to say over the radio, hey, there's a monster coming. You've got to run now. So you've got to, or maybe there's a list of options and it would be like, There's ice cream here back at base, and they get all excited and their heart rate goes up. Like, are there like just silly choices that you've got to try and match it up with what you've got to try and suss this person's personality.
So it's like Firewatch dialogue style, like dialogue wheel style selections.
Yeah. So there'd be choices.
But the outcome of those will affect your progression through the puzzles.
Yes.
I think that works, but only if you couple it with, like, if you have multiple characters, they each have a different sort of personality. Yeah. And the answer depends on the person you're talking to. And maybe you have their profile or something you can check. And it's like, hey, this guy loves ice cream. Like, he gets really excited for it. So like, I'll use the ice cream answer on this. Doesn't like running, likes ice cream, will run
Ben
for
Jerry's
ice cream
at the end of his tunnel.
Yeah. His name is Ben and his brother is Jerry. It's Ben and Jerry's. And this guy hates Nick Cage. He's like, Nick Cage is coming. And it's definitely
Nick Cage is behind
heart rate gets dangerously high when you mention Nicolas Cage.
He loves the National Treasure films.
Because then they're like, I've got ice cream. And he's like, what ice cream? And then you have to look in the freezer and find a real brand of ice cream. Mm. Like that's the information you're trying. So you're trying to like scrape the ice off the packet to make sure you get a genuine ice cream.
Yeah, I've got a dip dab. I hate dip dab. Wait, dip dab's not an ice cream.
What are you talking about?
That's a sherbet with a lolly.
That's a sherbet thing. What am I thinking of? Twister.
What's the one that looks like a dip dab? Like it's like red. I'm thinking of Rocket. Is it Rocket? That's the lolly.
Are you thinking of a Rocket lolly? You're thinking of a fat.
I'm thinking of a Rocket lolly.
No.
That looks nothing like a dip dab.
I'm glad you said that.
I think you're thinking of a knobbly bobbly.
Yes.
Also, that's not an ice cream, just to clarify. It's a nice lolly.
Why?
It's not got cream in it.
All right. Look.
What, a knobbly bobbly? It's covered in ice cream, isn't it?
I mean, this is all great dialogue for the game.
what's
the really ice cream or ice lolly? except imagine it's Sean Connery shouting that and he's bleeding out.
And if you get the answer wrong, the occult takes their soul. Is that what we're saying? Like,
ice cream.
what are you thinking of this so far? Like, in terms of the overall game, how are you? Is this coming together for you in any way? How are you picturing it?
I think the big worry with this is that for all the exciting stuff that's happening off screen, it's how you kind of capture that and bring that to life. Like, it would have to have amazing sound design to kind of capture that, because otherwise you're in quite a static, boring room looking at text documents, basically. That feels like a hurdle you've got to get over a little bit. I don't know how you create more urgency.
You could argue the same thing for something like Firewatch, right? There's so much of that is just done through dialogue and through sound.
Yeah, but you are fundamentally moving through a forest. You are walking around. You're not trapped. If Firewatch was only in that tower, I don't think it would be as beloved.
Yeah, this is more of a radio play where you hear the
this
sounds.
This is basically like very sexy Archer's episode.
Yeah, the one where they go to a ruin. And make out with snakes.
That's where like the puzzle stuff that Tom was talking about, like inside the tower, inside the, you know, I don't know, the Overwatch room, whatever it would be, comes from, like in terms of having the map and having the books to research and also like that, the story of like, I don't know, like previous people who have been in that job and like seeing the notes that they've had, that they've left and things. I think somehow being able to tie that stuff together could be like a pretty cool tense story.
Is there a version of this where you are a person who's part of the exploration party, but like against your will? Like, you're an academic who's been dragged along. You've got a rucksack full of stuff and you are there present in the situations which you're trying to manipulate with information.
Oh, you're leading the Nazi explorers.
Yeah,
through
they're
the
like,
dungeon.
Take us to the treasure.
That's right. Cool. Yeah, that's how they are.
And then you're like, absolutely. Sir, Hans. Kiss that snake.
Yeah, better.
Got the dialogue already sorted.
It needs to be workshopped. But.
No, you need to play the Germans in this in this game now, Matt. That has to happen.
Nine. You kiss the snake.
Kiss the snake, Mr. Explorer. Use tongues. Yeah,
so,
better.
Are you imagining this? Like, none of this takes place in the tower now. This would just be in your version of it.
I'm just suggesting that's a direction you could go. You'd basically be like a nice version of who's the French guy in Raiders of the Lost Ark who gets like pulled along with the Nazis? He is a baddie, but if he was good, like he's like the Indiana Jones sort of rival. That guy.
Yeah, I can't remember his name, but yeah.
You've like made your bed with the enemies, now you have to sort of sleep in it kind of scenario.
Okay, and so that's where the deception comes in.
You get to see all the stuff firsthand, but that is a radically different game.
So when you get contacted by the entity, it's like, make sure they pick it up and I'll melt their faces.
Yeah.
And you're like trying to get them to melt their faces so you can escape. Yeah.
Okay. I think there is something about, because we've been talking about Firewatch, obviously that's the point of reference, like I am imagining when I'm talking about all this stuff, like some kind of vast jungle or woods or something. But being in a tower and seeing stuff happening like in the distance, or hearing the noises of things happening in the distance, there's something that I always remember from the opening of The Last of Us, the first one, where you play as Joel's daughter right at the beginning, and she's walking around when she's woken up and her dad's disappeared, and she's looking around for him. She goes into the bedroom and you see on television there's like a news, some kind of like newscast happening, and they're talking about like, I don't know, something's happening downtown and there's an explosion. And then suddenly you hear a big bang and look out the window, and really far off in the distance, you see the explosion. And that feels like you're really connected to something quite big and frightening that's happening, that is far off but imminent at the same time. And there's something that's really atmospheric about that. Like, I think being able to capture that could be really cool.
James, I agree. We need to make Last of Us, but Explorer Edition.
I agree totally.
So Uncharted.
I want to capture that. But just to talk about what Matt was saying about how can we make it feel less sedentary? Well, maybe we lean into the occult and you get visions. So you actually could have elements of the game where you're walking around in throughout the forest, or you have your own little puzzles to, maybe you even solve the puzzle and then you communicate that back to the person that you're trying to talk through it. Mm. You know, we could intersperse elements of that throughout, dust it in.
I just think, like, if a Nazi's making out with a snake, I kind of want to see it.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
There's the kick. Because that could be anything.
That's the Twitter kick right there.
What's going on?
I do think there is something. I mean, maybe it's just a BAFTA winning game, I don't know, but where you can be completely sedentary in this single room and you see the elements happening in the distance. I really think that's strong. But I kind of see where you're going with, like, well, you're hearing about all these amazing things. So either you have to make those really boring, or no, I mean, I'm joking, but you can make everything that happens outside of the room worse than reading a book of notes.
I like the idea that it's not like in the 50s or something and you're relying on pen and paper and compass and stuff like that. Maybe you do have all of this technology to begin with and stuff starts to fail, or maybe they go deeper into the dungeon, the GPS stops working or whatever. Stuff starts to slowly disappear. But then it does mean towards the end of the game, the climax of the story, you can't see or really hear any of it. It's just like he comes through the door and it's like, hey, solved it. Nice, let's get out of here.
Assuming they make it back.
You're just hanging around in your little room and the credits just start rolling. You
don't really know. But off in the distance. So you see the credits rising into the sky.
Out the window.
And you're like, oh, well, I have a great time.
I guess she's done it.
You will start to feel like you're just directing the main character of the story.
Could you not sort of view what's going on from a live feed, but as a cutscene? So you set up what happens, and then the cutscene unfolds based on your decisions that you've told them to do, and you're viewing it as like someone's sending you a live feed kind of situation.
Okay. Yeah.
But I mean, it would be full color. You wouldn't have like filters over it. But you could,
that sequence is.
Yeah, so it's predetermined by the stuff you've just told them to do.
And it kind of patches it together based on your decisions.
Yeah, yeah. And it would play out kind of like unless it plays out kind of like a Telltale game, where sort of as you go, as they act it out, it then cuts back to you, you make a decision, you're like, okay, yeah, do I want them to do this based on this? Mm-hmm. And it sort of goes back to them and goes, okay.
Now, I like the idea that there is this live feed on a screen at maybe all times. Mm-hmm. So you are able to kind of like glimpse at it and see, yep, they're still doing that thing while I'm researching this thing in this book. And I look back at it, or maybe you're trying to, you know, discover some clue or something. And then all of a sudden you hear a loud noise and you immediately in the game, you're trying to like look at the screen again to see what the fuck is going on.
Right.
And it's all shaky and crazy and you're trying to determine what's going on. And I think it should just be an element in the game that you can just watch all the time if you want to. I suppose nothing will actually happen.
It's like being in the spooky van in that horror, that ghost hunting game.
Oh, Phasmophobia.
Phasmophobia, yeah.
You do the classic cinematic thing, like Chris is saying, where, you know, you see it all fuzzy and then the camera sort of pans through the screen and then it's all in full colour. Like if there is a big moment, because you want to represent to the player, like, this is what this character's feeling right now. So they see it in more detail than you do through the eyes of a screen, through their eyes. So
yeah,
I really like that though. I think that could work. I like this idea that you can see all this stuff happen and you're like, well, I'm still in this room. Oh my God, I'm here and they're all the way over there and I better be careful to not give them bad information.
Does that mean like at some point then we have to let the player come out of that or go into, like, they have to be able to, like, something happens towards the end of the game where you step back from mission control and then it's your responsibility to go out and finish the story.
Oh man, that would be so cool. Yeah. If you come out of the room and you basically retread the steps that you've seen through this footage, right?
Okay.
And you're like, okay, right. I remember this room, and you can see the evidence of all the things that they've done, like the plinth is in the place where you told them to put it, the icon is put on this pedestal up here, there's a blood splatter from when this dude died. Ah, sucks to be that guy. And you are in the back of your mind.
Decisions you've made.
There's a snake with lipstick.
Yeah. A few kissy marks on the wall. Like, yeah.
Jehovah spelt with an I.
And this entire time, you're like, because I guess the reason you're going into this thing, the feed cuts off completely. There's no sound, there's no nothing. It just cuts out and you've got no information.
Oh, man,
and this
I
entire
love
time
that.
You're retreading the steps, you're just like hoping he's in there. And then about halfway through, just as you're about to get to the door, it fades to black and the credits roll because the main character in the other room just finished the story.
Yeah. You hear an Xbox achievement ping in the next room. It's like, what are you doing in there? Oh, wait.
I love that. I mean, I'm a...
You're going, not be finishing in there, you son of a bitch.
There's a Nazi in bed with a snake.
I'm just like,
oh, no.
Oh my God.
Man, the idea of like retracing the steps, I think, is that to me feels like the thing that's tying it all together.
I agree.
That is like a super payoff at the end when you're like, you know, like I'm making all these decisions, but I'm not actually getting to see it or, you know, experience it play out firsthand. And then all of a sudden you have to leave the room and you have to go to, like, based on all these decisions you've made.
I don't think it should be like, oh, I remember when he had to jump across this spike trap in this certain order and it becomes like an action jumping game where you have to actually do it all yourself. It's mainly you're just going through this thing that's already unlocked, already opened, and you're just walking through it and just seeing it all for the first time through.
Your eyes.
Yeah, the decision
having
you
already
made
solved
has opened it all up
for them. Mm.
It's a walking sim, but I think narratively that's so cool.
Having the puzzle element. Like, I don't know how, like, again, I don't know how this is going to work, and probably this is something that maybe people listening can help us with, but the idea of having the books and stuff and the puzzles in your mission control area, whatever that is, whether it's like an old library or a big watchtower in a jungle or something. Like, I love the idea of going through those books and reading people's kind of past experiences, trying to piece things together, trying to figure out on a big map in front of you or on a table where your guy currently is, where your squad currently is, and how to get them to the next bit and all that kind of stuff. I think that could be like keeping the player constantly active in a way that you're having to think with one part of your brain where to send them next, but then also having to constantly engage with this character, telling them what they're supposed to be doing right now, I think could be quite a cool way of keeping it active, I guess.
Yeah. I want to get an idea of the scale we're thinking here, by the way, because I think we started with explorer survival on an island in an entire forest or whatever. But I feel like we've reduced it to a room by room dungeon thing now, right?
I would say it's linear, but that changes based on your decisions, right? So you go through one thing and then whatever's behind that door changes based on the decision you had when you had to make that decision. So it's random. There are multiple endings, I guess. Well, there are multiple routes to the ending. Maybe there are multiple endings, but there are at least multiple routes to the ending that you would at least visually see different if you played through it again, made different decisions.
I think
it's definitely linear.
You'd want it to start. In my head, I see it starting in the jungle. So you've got the above ground, you've got the GPS. Then they go in the cave. The GPS fails, but they've got some radio. Then they find the hatch to the temple, and then it's in a massive. So I think you can still have maybe just, what would you class it? Different biomes, different scenes, or whatever you'd want to call it. You could have an opportunity to just have completely different areas, and you go underground.
Yeah. Okay.
I like the idea of it being an island as well. Like that feels it almost feels a little bit like, you know, like the Call of Cthulhu style, the one with Mountains of Madness. Just like these people exploring this whole new part of the world, this unknown part of the world that has some kind of ancient or weird occult thing in it, whether it's evil or whatever it is. There's some kind of mystery that needs to be uncovered in a remote part of the world.
Sounds
amazing.
What's the film with Nick Cage in with the bees? Isn't that set on an island?
Wicker Man.
We've made the Wicker Man. Excellent.
Is that the bees?
All right, Tom. So can you? I think we've veered, but we're kind of like in a similar
ballpark. I mean, the only way we've diverted from what's written here is we took out whatever the hell that twist was.
The entity.
But yeah, it's helping a group of explorers discover and uncover the mystery of the island while stuck in your library, watching a live stream, looking at a paper map, following their GPSs, monitoring their health and oxygen levels and all of this stuff, and helping them get to the end. And the twist at the end is that eventually all tech fails and you lose communication with your explorers, and you have to go and retread the steps that you've made your explorer friends, kooky explorer friends.
Not Nazis.
Not Nazis.
Okay.
Unless.
I feel like Nazis and kooky explorer friends should not be in the same description.
Oh, they were a wacky bunch, weren't they? But yeah, you get to the end and you discover, oh my God, my only... last explorer, he's starting to be abducted by aliens. He's holding the crystal skull and you have to stop it. And that's
and
how you save
the snake.
You save the expedition. And then you close the book with all your annotations, and then the credits roll. And after the credits, someone else opens the book and is starting to follow your annotations.
Oh my God.
And he goes into the dungeon himself.
Your son/daughter.
Yes. Which you had in the middle of the game.
Yes. There's a weird cutscene.
There's a weird
the snake.
Bit where
what the remains of the kissing snake. That's the name of the game.
Half explorer, half snake. All kissing.
All mouth.
That's the quote for this game.
Yeah.
Half explorer, half snake, all kissing.
Wow. Matthew, what do you think of this? What's your take?
Yeah, like... I'm big into the snake kissing. I think that's cool.
Yeah.
I love a game with a big narrative twist that has a big mechanical
shift
connotations. Weirdly, it reminds me a bit of like what the like Stories Untold or.
That's what I was thinking of. Yeah, I couldn't think of the name of the game.
Like a kind of interface information management game that then becomes a more. Like almost a sort of like a more lived in horror experience or something feels like the kind of thing that those guys would do. Observation actually also had a similar kind of, it was like two thirds one thing, one third another. I think this is cool.
Well, that's pretty positive from you guys.
Holy shit. Oh, hang on. I just remembered there's a second end credit scene when the door opens and it's Dungeon Daddy, the Crystal of Wisdom.
Well, oh.
now you have got a Tomverse. Finally. That is connective tissue. I live for that shit.
Hazelverse. Chris?
Hazelverse.
Yeah, I mean, I really like man in the chair games, you know, when you're...
I think
the
that's becoming a
the
theme,
chair.
Right? A lot of these episodes have become that. That's yeah, become our new roguelike building. It's XCOM.
It can suit a lot of genres. I mean, I like that kind of thing. And I like being able to, when you retread everything at the end, seeing the consequences of your actions and just being like, oh, I remember making that decision and that man is dead because of it. Like,
that's
and then
it for
visually
me, yeah.
seeing that. Mm. Is nice. Not for him.
It's nice.
Not
yes,
for him.
But
no,
seeing
it's
the
bad,
dead man
terrible
is, pen. Is nice that I've killed. James?
Yeah, same as Chris. I love the idea that you can go back and retread those steps. But it, like in The Walking Dead, where you see the results, you know, the little bar charts that say you made these decisions. I love all that. So the idea that you could see a physical representation of those
yeah,
choices.
That's true.
I think
it's kind of taking it to the next level.
I think that's cool. And I like the story and I'd play it. Let's go.
Wow. All right. Holy shit. That sounds like a pretty good one, Tom.
That sounds like a pretty good one. I think my only notes are like what Matt was saying. It needs to be a very fucking good radio play. Like the sound design for the other end of the walkie talkie or the live stream or whatever needs to be amazing because you want to know everything that's going on. Even if you're not being able to watch it, I think that's super important. But
that's fine. Like, we'll leave that to the. We're just the blue sky people, right? We'll leave
that
to the.
I've done what I need to do. I think this is a great message, though. If this is what I came with in my vaccination fever dream, then you know what? Maybe everyone should get vaccinated so they can come up with their own amazing pitches for games. If you're not vaccinated, then you know you're not going to have any good ideas.
I've been really struggling with coming up with a pun. The best I've come up with this entire time is Let's Snake Out.
I do like Snake
yeah,
Out.
That's all I could think of with kissing and snakes.
Oh, Chris. I
was really trying.
You've done it again.
You've right. done it again.
I've ended a podcast.
Yep. There he is. Our kooky explorer friend, Chris. Waka waka, zim zim zimalim.
If you like Let's Snake Out, the game or the name, you can, or if you have any better ideas of how you might actually tell the story, you can let us know. Where can they let us know, Tom?
Why do you always do it in that order? Why do you start saying it and then ask me? At Pitch Plus Pod, Pitch Please Pod without any vowels on Twitter,
right.
or in the comments of the YouTube video, or in the reviews on iTunes, or I don't know, attach it to a pigeon and send
just
it towards
call us.
Me.
Just call me. Call me up.
Just call me.
Yeah.
Call me.
we're going to be taking a little break for one episode's time, but then we will be back. So if you're wondering, if anyone happens to refresh their feed feverishly, very unlikely, other than me, and you're surprised that there's nothing there, that's why we'll be back.
We'll be back.
Thank you very much for listening. Thank you everyone who's here joining us talking now and listening. And we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Yeah.
Bye. 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 Bye.
Wow. Once again, Alex.
Sorry for that.
What
outro.
A fucking mess.